This gospel story is really awkward. Jesus does not behave in the way that we expect or want him to. A desperate mother approaches him, shouting for help, for mercy, asking Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus first appears to ignore her. His disciples tell him, "Send that shouty woman away, she's getting on our nerves." When she refuses to be dismissed and kneels at Jesus' feet, he insults her, referring to her and her daughter as dogs. To be ignored is dehumanizing. To be spoken about in the third person, "send her away," is dehumanizing. Now she is being called an animal. To those who are impacted by the ugly realities of racism, experiences like these will be familiar. Not so long ago, President Trump put out a video depicting the faces of former President and First Lady Barack and Michelle Obama superimposed onto the bodies of apes. Over the past several years, we've heard many of our UK politicians use words like swarm, invasion, marauders, flood, to describe the people arriving on our shores, fleeing war, disaster, persecution, or poverty. This dehumanizing language is used deliberately and effectively to turn off our compassion. But from Jesus is the one who takes the side of the marginalized and the outcast, the one who is all compassion. Some commentators have tried to soften Jesus' words, but these attempts seem unconvincing to me. I don't think we can smooth over the awkwardness of this story. It is confronting and jarring. Chinne McDonald is the author of this brilliant book. I don't know if any of you have read it. God is Not a White Man, it's called. She's someone whose writing I admire and respect. And when she looks at this gospel story, she says, she doesn't believe that Jesus is racist, but says he is holding up a mirror to the disciples and to his community. As much as I like to imagine Jesus as a mild and gentle, laid-back, peace-loving hippie, this image is constantly frustrated by the Jesus I encounter in the Gospels. Jesus is jarring and confronting. He is often provocative. His teaching methods often seem strange and surprising. His words are sometimes harsh and sometimes hard to understand. However we make sense of Jesus' words and behavior in this passage, it is clear that the real star of the story is the Canaanite woman. She is fearless and persistent. She is determined, driven by a mother's fierce, protective love. She refuses to be silenced. She is smart and funny, taking Jesus' insult and working with it creatively, turning it to her advantage. By the end of the exchange, her faith is rewarded and her dignity restored. Her courage brings to mind the stories of others like her, who used imaginative, non-violent means to reassert their humanity and shift the course of history. People like Rosa Parks and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. People like Michelle Obama, who famously said, "When they go low, we go high." So what message do today's passages hold for us? I think that one thing they demand is that we confront our own racism and tribalism. As much as we might like to think we are above such things, there is something in all of us, an ancient survival instinct, that is wired to be suspicious of those we perceive to be different from us. We all sometimes make lazy assumptions. We all carry prejudices that we have inherited from our culture and internalized, maybe without even realizing it. Jesus holds up a mirror to help us to see it. And in this story, he models for us a willingness to be challenged, to be humbled, to learn, and to change. Maya Angelou famously said, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." This is good and grace-filled advice. Ridding our hearts of prejudice is always an ongoing, unfinished business. But we are called to know better and to do better. The other message that comes through in all three of our Bible readings today is a message of God's love being characterized by abundance, not scarcity. There is plenty to go around. When the Canaanite woman approaches Jesus, she has faith in the abundance of God's mercy, that there is enough for her and her daughter too. The prophet Isaiah was speaking to a traumatized people returning from exile to a chaotic and uncertain future. This context makes the vision the prophet gives all the more astonishing and beautiful. "Don't feel threatened by difference," God says. The verses we heard speak about welcoming foreigners. The verses the lectionary skips over talk about welcoming eunuchs, those whose ambiguous gender and different sexuality has excluded them from the worshipping community. Verse 7 in our Isaiah reading has that wonderful promise, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." In verse 8, the prophet describes God as the one who gathers the outcasts. The passage we heard from Romans has a similar theme. There appears to be some conflict in the church in Rome between Christians who are Gentiles and Christians who are Jews, with some of the Gentiles taking a supersessionist view that Christianity trumps Judaism. We still to this day hear similar messages throughout the Christian church, including in some readings of scripture. Paul cuts through these notions clearly and forcefully. "By no means has God rejected his people. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God's covenant hasn't been taken from one people and handed to another. It's just wider than we had ever imagined." All the anti-immigrant rhetoric we hear from politicians and the media is fueled by an idea of scarcity. There isn't enough to go around. There won't be enough for everyone. Sometimes we encounter a similar fearfulness in the church, an idea that inclusion and tolerance are somehow threatening and dangerous. We hear phrases like "watering down" and "slippery slope." Today's Bible readings make it very clear that God's love, mercy, and faithfulness are not limited, finite resources. There is more than enough to go around. We need not be fearful of the differences around or within our community. We might have different cultural backgrounds, different political allegiances, different sexualities or gender expressions, different theologies, different beliefs, even different religions. The consistent message I hear through the Gospels is a call to greater openness, a call not to uniformity but to unity, to love without limits, to unconditional welcome and radical inclusion, to draw the circle wide and wider still. There's a very old saying traced back to the 12th century that says, God is a circle whose centre is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. That's a bit of a mind-boggling concept, isn't it? But I like it. I appreciate the idea that God has no borders and defies all of our attempts at containment. It's no wonder that Jesus, too, continually confounds my expectations. He's really annoying that way. My hope and prayer for us this morning is that anyone who needs to hear it will know that you are welcome here. Whatever your beliefs, whatever your doubts, whatever your background, whatever your intellectual ability, your level of education, your economic status, whatever it is that you think might get in the way, whether you agree or disagree with what's said from the pulpit, including by me, you are welcome in God's love. I sincerely hope that you feel welcome in this church, seen and heard and valued and loved. And my hope and prayer for us as a community is that we live this out, that we have the space and the grace to disagree with each other without hurting each other, that we listen to those who are different from us, who offer an alternative perspective, that we are always willing to move and change towards openness, abundance, and love. May this be so. Amen. Let's sing together again, number 353, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy.